turned off. Good morning and welcome. It's good to see everybody here. I appreciate your presence. I'm glad to be back. People have asked me how the gospel meeting went in Alabama, and it went pretty good. I lost a button on the first night in front of everyone, which just indicates they were feeding me way too much, too fast. But it was good to be down there, and it is fantastic to be back with you. I am thankful to be a part of this congregation. So the first Sunday of the month we dedicate to our theme for the year. And remember, last year was Walk by Faith. It's hard to come up with a more important theme than this idea of faith. It is so crucial. But the Bible doesn't stop there. It says there's the next level we need to go on. And so we then have looked at 2 Peter chapter 1 and this list that says add to your faith. And what we've observed up to this point is we've looked at this idea of a need for us to be improving. This is a fundamental aspect of every Christian. You aren't what you're supposed to be. You know, if you ever start just feeling like I am in great shape, there's something wrong with you. We're supposed to all be growing and improving. It's supposed to be a constant process where we look and say, I can get better. And so we're supposed to add to our faith, and we're supposed to be constantly doing this, increasing. And we notice this word diligence multiple times mentioned in this passage, to where we're supposed to put forth tremendous effort in our growth. And then I wonder if you remember what comes next. I have heard multiple times from multiple people saying, I just wish it was in a list. You know, just this, do this, don't do this. This is your list. A list of, once you take faith, seven things in which he says, if you have these things and you are increasing, you will be useful to God. You will never stumble. An entrance into the eternal kingdom will be abundantly supplied to you. This is your list. Do you know it? We've gone over most of it now. I hope that you're memorizing this, because if you like lists, this is your passage. And what we've looked at then is adding to our faith. We add moral excellence, this goodness within us, this basic idea that says, whatever decision I face, the right one is the one I will pick. Whatever temptation Satan offers, I will ignore and I will take what is right. Every time. And then we add to that this idea of knowledge, growing in our understanding of what God's will is. And then self-control, the ability to make our own decisions and control the direction that we go. Perseverance, never quitting. And then we looked at godliness, and I'm thankful that we have the Sunday morning adult class in which we focus on godliness further. And it is just this idea of a God-focused individual who is constantly thinking about God, going towards God, and focused on God. And there's only two things left, then, for us to consider on our list. Two more things that if we can say, yes, I have this, and yes, I am increasing in these things, that heaven is ours. As long as we stay on that path. And so what we'll add to that this morning is brotherly kindness. And I'm going to take a page out of Barry's book in his class. And he was doing this as a word study. And I think there's a place for a word study in regards to brotherly kindness. And there's a consequence to that. We're going to be doing a Greek word study and not, well, Gary might have brought a Greek text. I don't think most of you did. Most of you left your Greek text at home today. So I don't think Jared was going to preach out of that. We're not going to be able to see all of these things. And we're not going to turn to all of the scriptures. I'm going to leave you to be like the Bereans, and you're going to have to go home and you're going to have to see if these things are true yourself. But what I am going to do is give you a bunch of scriptural references, and out of very, very kindness, I'm going to put it online for you. So you don't have to wear your hand out really quickly trying to write all of these long lists down. Brotherly kindness, you probably know the Greek for that. We do, because we have a city named after it, Philadelphia, right? City of brotherly love. Whether that's true of them or not, I cannot say. They don't have the reputation for it. But brotherly love. And in there, there's the Adelphia, which is brother, but there's Philae. And if you have been a Christian for very long, you probably are aware that there's multiple different Greek words. There's Philae and there's agape. And so that's where the study comes in, understanding a little bit of the difference there. But let's start off with this idea of Philadelphia. The Bible doesn't use it all that many times. About 6 or 7 times it is used. But we start off with the first examples in 1 Peter 1:22, what was read for us this morning. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. Now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Let the love of the brethren continue. And what this does is it tells us who to love. That's what brotherly love is, brotherly kindness. And so in 2 Peter chapter 1, when it says, add to your godliness brotherly kindness, what he's telling us is who to love. And it's our brothers and sisters in Christ. And when you think about it, it's a very natural progression then. So we've gone through the progression, this idea of to our faith we add this moral excellence, to moral excellence we add knowledge, to knowledge we add self-control, to self-control we add perseverance. And there's a very clear progression that is made there, and it gets a little bit hazier. But when I think of godliness as God-focused, and so we got through this list, and now we're starting to be spiritually minded. Not just, well, this is how I'm going to live, but this is who I'm going to focus on. The next step makes a lot of sense. When we put our heart, our mind, our time, and our dedication on God, it is nearly impossible to not then focus on God's family. Jesus talks about this on multiple times. When Jesus comes to Saul and he says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Saul was going after Christians. And Jesus says, that's me. When Jesus gives us the illustration in Matthew chapter 25 about the judgment, he says the judgment is going to be based on the way you treated me. And they're going to say, when did we see you there? And he says, so much as you treated one of the least of these. In 1 John chapter 4, we can't say that we love God and hate our brother. And so we focus on God, and then naturally we need to start focusing on one another. Everyone in this room, everyone downstairs, everyone who's a Christian around the world. And I want to add that concept to you. Brother is more than you and me in this room. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 11, Jesus points out this relationship. And this is a pretty profound concept for me. But that Jesus, the Son of God, our Lord, would call us brother. But it says here in verse 11, for both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. So Jesus will call us his brothers. But here the reason is of what is in common. He who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one. We're from one Father. And since you have one God and I have one God, we are brothers. Brothers in our faith. And that is not limited to this room. That goes way beyond this room. And so if you look over at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. Remember, these are Christians who have only been Christians for maybe 3 to 6 months. They had not heard of the gospel at all. And then they hear about it and Paul has to go away. 3 to 6 months they've been focusing on being a Christian. He says of them, now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you. For you yourselves also are taught by God to love one another. For indeed you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, to excel still more. So here they're in Thessalonica. They're in one little town. And they've only been Christians for a few months, but he says, love of the brethren. He says, you've already done it, shown it towards all the people in Macedonia. Bigger than just the ones right there. And then he says, excel still more. Love them more. Love more than just them. And so we add to our godliness brotherly kindness. The other two passages where brotherly kindness is used, other than in 2 Peter 1, it says in Romans 12, verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Or in 1 Peter 3, verse 8, to sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. And these passages emphasize not so much who you love, but how you love. Treat people like family is the idea. I think 2 Peter 1 is really emphasizing this idea of who you love. As we grow in our relationship to God and we grow closer on this path that leads to heaven, we don't do it alone. Let me reword that. You can't do it alone. Because part of the path is a focus on others. A focus on our brothers. So I think about this idea of phileo and agape. Have you ever really gotten a good grasp of the difference between those? That's what I wanted to do. I spent my time looking at how phileo is used and trying to grasp it. Here's some things I've observed. First of all, agape is used much more in the New Testament than phileo. I mean, it is used a lot more times, over three times more than phileo is used. Phileo, on the other hand, is used a whole lot more in classic Greek. In other words, if we're not looking at the Bible, but we're looking at all the other Greek writings, they almost never use agape. They always use phileo, which is interesting. Agape is almost a uniquely Christian word. Almost. Phileo, when it is used, primarily refers to an intimate affection, liking to do that which is pleasant. It's oftentimes translated as friendship. But if we really want to dig down into the difference between phileo and agape, you can't make this huge, strong difference between them. Yes, there's clearly a line that is being made. There's times when phileo and agape are used separating themselves, but there's times when they're used and they're combining themselves. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9, we've read that. That's already an example. Let love of the brethren continue. We've already been taught by God to love one another. Guess what he just did there? He says, here, you guys need to phileo one another because God's already taught you to agape one another. He just combined the two. And they are frequently combined. But what does it mean? What is God asking us to phileo one another? To phileo our brothers? Which sounds awful, doesn't it? Phileo you. Well, I look at the examples, and what it's telling us is we can look at what the Bible does with phileo, and we can try to apply it then to what we're supposed to do to one another. There's this, I don't know if you've heard of Brian Regan. Brian Regan is this comedian. I really find him very, very funny. And he has this bit in which he talks about the cranberry sales guy. And he's just amazing because he gets cranberry in everything. Cran grape, cran everything, right? Phileo is the cran grape of the Bible. It's the cranberry of the Bible. It just gets thrown on with everything. Phileo, compound words, phileo, concepts. And so it is phileo, love of father or mother, love of son or daughter, love your husband, love of children. You look at the strong bonds that you find within family, and that's what God is saying. Treat other Christians like that. Like your parents, like your children, like your spouse. Not in some inappropriate way, but that strong bond. That's what we're supposed to do. Or you can look at other relationships, the love your life, love of self, which, by the way, phileo is not inherently good. When Jesus talks about those who love their life, he's not talking in a positive way, saying they're going to lose their life. And love yourself in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2, that's in a very negative context. That is, here's when the world is going to be really bad in these last times, and he's saying they're going to be lovers of self. It's all about them. Do you know anybody in the world where it's all about them? And it's like really hard to get it to not be about them? That strength with which they love themselves is the strength and nature of the love we're supposed to have for the people sitting next to us, across from us, below us, above us, all across the country, all across the world. That's what we're supposed to have. Love of strangers, which we frequently translate as hospitality. Jesus is accused of being a friend of tax collectors. You love those tax collectors. That's phileo. Love of mankind. We know that Greek word, philanthropy. Being a friend of the world. Again, a negative connotation there. And then it talks about the world loves its own. All this is people, but it doesn't limit itself to people. When we look at this idea of love, there's loving what is good, a positive example. Loving wisdom, which is what philosophy is. Loving the word, which is translated as scholars. Or love of horses, which you probably didn't know was in the Bible, and neither did I. And it's not really in the Bible. It's a guy's name, Philip. And Philippi, that means love of horses. Never knew that. Love to be noticed and honored. That's phileo. Love to be first. Love to lie. love of money, love of pleasure, love of strife. You think about all of these things, and you can probably think of people that are dedicated to these things. And we could have had additional lists. Maybe love of horses. If we just changed it to love of Broncos, that we would have understood. A lot of people, they have that love for Broncos and a passion for it. And we do all sorts of things for the Broncos. And we set aside time for the Broncos. And I think it's the weirdest thing. We go to watch the Broncos practice. Okay, it's not the weirdest thing. I do it. That's phileo. And instead of towards the Broncos and all these other things, sometimes good, sometimes negative things, he says, take that and put it towards the people in this room. Take that and put it towards anybody who is a Christian, who is your brother. Be that dedicated and that passionate about them. And really, I have oftentimes heard of agape as this higher love and phileo, this lower love. And maybe there's some truth to that, but understand phileo is in no sense a weak love. It is, in fact, a very strong love. It is referred to as the way God phileos his son. It doesn't get stronger than that. Or Jesus, how he loved Lazarus, or the disciple whom Jesus loved. All of these are examples of phileo. We'll skip this one. You can look at it online. So now, how then are we supposed to treat one another? And I kept looking at this idea of phileo and started seeing some things that it told us. This is what it meant to be a friend. This is what it means to love somebody. I thought, well, that's what it's telling us to do. Here it says, this is phileo over here, and then all God is saying is now phileo your brothers here. And so it's to know people's names. Greet the friends, the phileos, by name. It's why we take the time to try to learn. And some of you are just extremely blessed, and it sickens me to no end. You remember every name you ever hear. Some of us, it's a real challenge. And you know why we keep going through the challenge? Why we should keep struggling? We should not say, well, I'm no good at names, and then make that as an excuse. Instead of, I'm no good at names, but I love you, I'm going to learn it. I'm going to work on it. The friends are the people you greet, the people you want to talk to. I was thinking about that. They're the ones you don't avoid in the shopping stores. Shopping stores, great. Shopping markets. And the aisles with products. You know, sometimes there's somebody there, you're like, I don't really want to talk to them. That's not a friend. You're not being a friend. It's not the people we avoid, it's the people we go to. And he's saying, if there's a Christian, you should want to go to them, want to greet them, want to know them. The people you would naturally invite. Now, Jesus says you need to go beyond this. He says, don't just invite your friends, but invite the weak, the poor, the people that are sick and ill. He says, invite those people that can't repay you. Yes, and that's a positive example. But underlying it is, here's the friends, and here's what a friend is. The friend is the sort of person you want to invite. You want to be around. You want to celebrate with when good things happen. I have found my sheep. I have found my coin. I have found my son. Gather the friends. And let us celebrate. And they're the ones that you take care of. Paul is released from prison so that he can go to his friends and they can take care of him. They're the ones who take care of you. They're the ones you take care of. They're the people that you trust to represent you. If you need help, if you need something to be done, you send a friend. Or you be the type of person that can represent someone else and will take care of their needs. Somebody they can trust. It is the people that you love enough to reprove, and this is Jesus saying, because I love you, I will correct you. That's something lost in our country, lost in our society. Love does not correct, quite the opposite. Phileo, love corrects. You see a brother doing something that's not right, we should help. We should try to correct them. We should warn them of danger. This isn't even of Christians, I don't believe. In Acts 19, verse 31, there's this big riot in Ephesus, and it says that some of Paul's friends were begging him, trying to keep him from going in to this riot. That was all about him. That's what friends do. Friends are the ones who sacrifice. The ones you sacrifice for. This was mentioned in class this morning, John chapter 15 and verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, than one lay down his life for his friends, for his phileos. And that's what Peter is telling us. As we're growing closer to God, as we add this godliness, this God focus, this spiritual nature, he then says, and focus on one another, sacrifice for one another, know one another, encourage one another, help one another. I cannot stress enough the importance of the church. Whether we're talking about the assemblies, or we're talking about just the relationship we're supposed to have as common faith people on a daily basis. The Hebrew author, he's going to hit both sides of this. But in Hebrews chapter 3, we go through this list, and Hebrews is talking about these people that are struggling with their faith. They're tempted to go away. And he says, really, well, instead of going away, you need to draw together, get close to one another. Here's what he says, Hebrews 3:12, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the evil God, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. You may feel like quitting someday. You need other friends. Christian friends who will encourage you every day. Say, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't go in for that sin. Chapter 4, verse 11. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter the rest, that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. You go to chapter 10. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. We push one another, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Here in our struggles, what we need is each other. And then if you go to chapter 12, verses 12 through 13, it says, therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Down to verse 15. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled, that there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. If you go to chapter 13, how's the Hebrews come to an end? Now he's bringing it to a conclusion. Let love of the brethren continue. And verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. One another, the church, brothers and sisters in Christ, are crucial to your salvation. But brotherly kindness is something different. All of these things are passages that really emphasize, and we could approach it from two different ways, but it would be easy for us to look at this and say, you need the church, and that would be true. You need the encouragement that they can provide, the strength, the wisdom, the spiritual focus that they can provide you, and that is all true. You do need that. But brotherly kindness, that command, is not about what you need to receive. It's about what you need to give. It's about our responsibility to put our affection and our dedication and our effort and our wisdom towards other Christians. And when he's saying that we must have that and we must be increasing in that, he is saying we must be growing in our dedication and we must be growing in the scope of our love, who we love. As this congregation grows, and I hope we will continue to grow, I hope we will become a massive congregation to where someday the world says, you want to talk about a mega church, Northside Church of Christ is the mega church of the United States. Hallelujah, that'd be great. But you want to know something? It'll be awfully easy as we grow, it already is right now, to only know some people. and to really just focus on those some people. It's hard sometimes because sometimes those people are family, and we have several large families, and the danger is we just focus on the family. Not that I'm saying ours do. But the point here is, don't let yourself get into a small group. Grow. You see a visitor, you go get to know them. You get to know their name and you become their friend and you become somebody who phileos them. You find Christians and you're traveling, you're someplace else. You find Christians and they're supposed to be the people you phileo, the people that you love and you take friendship with and you help and you encourage. It's not about what you need to receive. It's about what you need to give. And it's to all Christians around the world. And if you can get that one concept from this lesson, well, then I will consider this lesson to have been a great success. And so I bring this to a conclusion with this one simple thought. Let us diligently, let us put forth effort every Sunday, every day, to add brotherly kindness to our character. Next week, we'll finish the list. Not the theme, but the list. If there are any here who are not Christians, we give you an opportunity to become a part of this amazing family. And it is amazing. It is amazing the way that we treat one another and love one another, even though sometimes we make mistakes. But on top of the way we treat and love one another, there's the love of God and be called a child of God and have this hope of forgiveness of sins and eternal life with Him. And all of that is right here being offered to you. Will you lay down your life for God? Set aside your will, your way. Do you believe in His Son? If you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, now is the time to take action. Repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized into Him for the forgiveness of your sins and become a part of this family, and we will grow together. If you're a Christian and you stopped growing, if you're a Christian and you've fallen away, this is your family. And we beg you to come back. And we offer our help. One thing we can do is if you'll tell us what happened, we will pray for you. And our Father, who is also family, has promised He'll forgive you. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?